Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. It should be fun. After all, Scott has inside jokes with people he's never even met.
Welcome back. I don't know if they'll be doing karate chops or not. Again, Dabo says there's no hatchet. They didn't bury a hatchet. There is no hatchet. But, you know, that's a Dabo-ism. Clemson, Florida State tomorrow, 3:30 kickoff, ESPN. Tigers favored by 9.5. Have won 5 straight against Florida State. 4 of those wins coming by at least 10 points. But, again, that was the before time. Clemson 2021 is unlike Clemson of about the last 8 or 9, 10 years. Clemson 4-3, 3-2 in the ACC. So those 10-point margins of victory, the before time. Usually that's referring to COVID, Trent. It's a little different. Is there a hatchet? Joining us now to say Tama Hotline, it's Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated. Larry, is there a hatchet?
You know, this kind of reeks of something that the new commissioner, Jim Phillips, took on when he first got here and said, got those two dudes in the room and said, this is over now. This is not going to continue into the season because it's kind of hard to square the intensity of the disagreement last fall compared to the hunky-dory vibes now. Oh, what do you mean? There's nothing going on there. So, I don't know. That's just speculation about Jim Phillips, the new ACC commissioner. But he seems to be the type of leader to try to nip something like that in the bud, like to where it doesn't linger and there's no more drama than there needs to be.
Yeah, maybe he was afraid of another situation like developed with Dave Dorn at NC State where Dabo said, that's a troll, right, or whatever, when they had the picture of the laptop on the play card and all that.
Yeah.
Dabo, a good guy at trolling. He's really good, but he comes across as, oh, shucks, I don't know what I'm doing. But I think actually he might be a genius when it comes to trolling.
Yeah, the real story here is, not what happened last year. Is everybody's wondering when the gap is going to be closed in the ACC. Well, it's closed. Everybody should be happy. We just didn't know it was Clemson that was going to close the gap.
Joined by Larry Williams, Tiger Illustrated. Follow him on Twitter at Larry Williams TI. And Larry, here's something I've been dying to ask you all week because, and again, you know the program way better than I do. You're very intimately familiar with it. It seems to me that Dabo has absolutely emptied the bench, emptied the cupboard when it's come to Dabo-isms, or he's gone to a T-shirt store and written down every saying he can remember and he's breaking them out in the press conferences. I mean, he's even questioning the loyalty of some fans at this point, saying they were never really fans. If they don't believe now, they're going to turn it around. What one word would you use to describe Dabo's mood or maybe Dabo's temperament this week?
Oh, man. Think exasperated.
Ooh.
I mean, but that doesn't make this week any different from the other weeks. The crazy and fascinating thing about this year is so many things have struck at once. Obviously, you have to replace the best quarterback in school history, along with the best running back in school history, along with Amari Rodgers, who was probably one of the most underrated losses you'll ever have. People just sort of glossed over that coming into the year, including me, by the way. I'm just as guilty. So not only do you have all that, but you have all these injuries that started striking even before the season on the offensive line. You have DJ, who's a quarterback who's a shell of what he was last year against Notre Dame and Boston College, and then you have receivers who just aren't what we're used to seeing out of great Clemson receivers, not just in terms of talent, but also probably in terms of work ethic and commitment and things like that. And then the injury bug has just continued to feast. And then once you have a starting offensive line that you feel good about with Hunter Rayburn at center, he comes down with COVID the morning of the Syracuse game and has to be flown home. And then you throw in Mason Trotter for his first snaps of the season as a starter at center against Syracuse. And then Rayburn is out again against Pittsburgh. And then Joseph Ngata is out a couple of days before the Pittsburgh game because you learn he has COVID. And then fast forward to this week, which was what you asked about. And Kobe Pace is out with COVID. And so it's just been one thing after another. And that's not to sit here and say, oh, these coaches have done just a tremendous job. And then it's all been a product of injuries and execution and all that. I mean, I think they have some serious questions to ask themselves in a lot of areas moving forward. But you asked me for one word, I would just say exasperated. And I don't know. You mentioned him sort of circling the wagons and saying, if you're not with us now, then you're not a true fan. I think that's just who he is. I think he's speaking to his team to a large degree. I think he's been remarkably transparent, or extraordinarily transparent this year, in saying things like, "Man, we stink on offense," and things like, "We just are not experienced, not confident at all on offense," things like that. I've never heard him, in the few instances that they have gone through real struggle during his tenure, meaning 2010 and 2014, I don't recall him saying things like that during the season. It's usually been after. And so in some respects, I've been sort of pleasantly surprised at how sort of forthcoming he's been about how bad things are.
You know, Larry, they have been hit by the injury bug, and some players haven't developed or progressed as expected. But still, the onus at the end of the day ultimately falls upon the head coach, and then there's a trickle-down effect. Here's my question, and I'm trying to think of a proper way to frame this. It seems to me that Dabo has an enormous amount of equity with the higher-ups at Clemson University, specifically the athletic department. But can you still see a situation at the end of the year where he receives some pressure to make changes on the staff? Maybe not a lot of changes, maybe not even the offensive coordinator per se, but maybe reassignment of duties, position coaching, so on and so forth. Can you see them saying, look, you need to change things, you need to maybe modernize things? I don't know. You see where I'm going here. Work with me.
Yeah, I think that I think the equity that he has built up with two national titles, six consecutive playoff appearances, and four trips to the national title game. I just don't think that this is a situation where the AD says you need to do this. And I'm not saying that's necessarily – I'm not saying it should be that. But I kind of feel like – I think he certainly recognizes there are problems, and I don't see him standing pat. I think that you're going to see the trend of no transfers in. I think you're going to see that change. Now, I'm not saying he's going to start bringing in 10 to 12 transfers, you know, in a year like some other programs out there do, but I think he's going to be more open to it. That's my prediction. I think you're going to see some changes staff structure wise. Now, how many, I don't know. I cannot speculate on that. So it remains the most fascinating question to me is just how critical of an eye will he take after this season. And I need to point out, they have five games left in this season. And so while a lot of people on the outside are just already ready to just pronounce this season a failure and get to talking about the changes, inside that football office, it's, man, there are still some impressive streaks on the line. There are still some attainable, you know, impressive goals to try to reach. They, you know, 10 wins, they've done that for 10 straight years, whereas when Dabo took over, it seemed like a million years before they would win 10 games again. You have the streak over Florida State. You have the streak over South Carolina. The 31-game home winning streak. I mean, those things are sort of unremarkable only because of what they have achieved over the last 6-7 years, right? So, like, at most schools, a 4-3 record is, gosh, yeah, we're just not, you know, this isn't what we wanted, but we'll just keep playing. Well, a 4-3 record at Clemson is an abject failure only because of the 73-7 record, I think, that preceded it. And so, but I think back in 2010, he knew something was wrong, and he ended up going in a different direction for offensive coordinator. I don't think that he's going to fire Tony Elliott. I do think they are in need of a refresh on offense in terms of the schematics and things like that. But if they are able to turn things around this season and DJ starts to show some real upward trajectory and the offense starts to figure things out, then maybe the changes are not as expansive maybe as if, you know, compared to like 6-6 or something like that. So, but I think it's going to be fascinating because we've seen other schools, and Nick Saban, you know, he loses a ton of great receivers from the last 2 years, but he still has some good receivers coming back that he's recruited. But yet he had the sort of foresight and the, I guess, proper self-scrutiny to say, hey, we need a little more speed. And so he goes out and gets Jameson Williams from Ohio State, who has turned out to be an absolute beast. And so, you know, is Dabo, does he have that sort of proper, I guess, ability to look at things as they are and to sort of scrutinize within? I'm not sure. I think we're going to find out more on that come this offseason. But Larry, I don't think that it's going to, if he makes changes, that it's going to be a directive from above. I think Dabo has earned, I think he, you could argue he is the AD, he is the president. I mean, I don't want that to come off the wrong way, but I'm saying he has been integral to this whole community, this school achieving an elevated profile. It all sort of goes hand in hand, as if, you know, football is your front porch and you're achieving at a high level, it's sort of the rising tide thing, you know, where he has made so many things better around here. And I think it's reasonable to say, to the extent that he should be able to make the decisions on what they need to do moving forward, mainly because the decisions he has made in the past have worked and have been the right decisions, but also because this guy's a Hall of Fame coach, and he has established that over the last 6-7 years.
Excellent insight from Larry Williams of Tiger Illustrated. You can follow him on Twitter at Larry Williams TI. Larry, again, that's really good stuff, bud. We don't get you on nearly enough. You're a busy man, but you need to work us in more often.
I'd love to, man. Anytime. like what you're doing down there, and we had fun when you came on my podcast a couple of weeks ago. So yeah, I would love to keep the lines of communication open.
All right, buddy. Have a good one. Good luck this weekend.